We're going to start off by talking a little bit about barriers. How many of you guys like barriers? Okay. Barriers is kind of like not my favorite thing. I know when I was a kid and I went mountain climbing, there were always barriers. And where was I always? On the other side of the barrier, okay? That was just me as a kid. I was like, that's a barrier. That means I go through it, right? No. But that was kind of my, when I grew up, that was my mentality. I was a climber, so I climbed on everything. And I'd go to museums, and I'd see stuff. I'd be like, I want to climb on that, but there'd be a barrier there, and I'd be like, no. Museums were terrible. I went to like the Aerospace Museum, and they had all these beautiful planes. And they had barriers around them. I'm like, why can't I go sit in the plane? I wanted to be across that barrier. And when I was in my last job, when I was doing a lot of structural design and things like that, I would get to go to places that normal people couldn't go into. So for instance, I got to go in the U.S. Mint. And most people, the millions of people that file through there all the time, they get to go and they get to go behind the barrier and look through the window at all the stuff that's going on. Well, I got to go down on the floor and actually be with all the equipment and all the machines. They're making the money. I'm like, wow, this is awesome, right? It's like I got past that barrier. It was a little work. I mean, I pretty much had to like take off all of my clothes and get, you know, searched top to bottom to be able to go in and out of there. They warned me, they're like, do not take change. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to take any money, no change, no nothing. But they thoroughly searched me when I went into that place. And when I came out, especially, they searched me. But I got across the barrier. And why did I want to get across the barrier? Because when you get across that barrier, you get to know whatever's on the other side better. Like as a kid, if I got to sit in the plane, I would have felt it a little bit more. I could have been like, oh, this is what it was like to be in World War II, you know, and fighting and doing all this stuff. Because you get to know it better. So in our Christian walk, we've got barriers too. And we've got this relationship with Jesus Christ that is such an awesome thing. But some of us put barriers in our own life to getting closer to God. And let me straighten this out for you guys. It's never God who's putting the barrier there. It's always us. If you want to get close to God, there is no barrier any longer because Jesus Christ made a way to do that. He made a way so that we can be cleansed and go to God. The problem is that we put up these barriers in our own life that keep us from getting close to Jesus. And this is what we're talking about during this 21 days. And this is the end of our fast. We'll be breaking our fast with communion today. I'm excited about that. It's been a pretty powerful experience for me. Been going through a lot of stuff, but I want to get closer to Jesus, and I always do. And I want to encourage you guys, you always push yourself to get closer to Jesus, because the fruits that come out of that are eternal. And the fruits that come out of everything else that we do are just going to wash away. They're going to burn away like chaff. So I'm going to start off in John 14 because we've been in John and we've been reading John. Hopefully, I mean, today is the last day if you've been reading John chapter 21. But today we're going to start out in John 14. And it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, just to make that point, he's not the popular disciple, Judas Iscariot, but this is the other Judas, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all the things that I said." So Jesus is saying, listen, if you really want to love me, you've got to actually obey my commandments. Right? You've got to listen. You got to treat me like you actually know who I am. Because he's the king of the universe. So when he says something, when he puts these laws in and he tells us to do stuff like love one another or to forgive those, you know, who trespass against you, when he tells you to do those things, we need to do them. And when we don't do them, what happens is that's called sin, and it gets between us and our relationship with Jesus. And I can tell you from personal experience, that's exactly what it does. Because I know in my lifetime, I've been through seasons where I was given into sin. And I knew Jesus. And in my mind, conceptually, I was like, he is God and he is the Lord of my life. But there were things that I did not want to let go of. There are things that I was doing that did not honor him. I had, you know, when I was in college, in that age, I was running after women. That's what I was doing. And I wasn't doing it out of malice. It's just, I liked women. And that's they made me feel good about myself. Right? So when somebody said, yeah, I'll date you or I'll go out with you, that made me as a man feel like, oh, okay, here's this pretty girl and she wants to come and date me. Right? And that made me feel good. So I chased after that. But the problem was, it wasn't filling the hole in my heart that I needed filled. And it was the way I chased after it was sinful. I didn't follow the scripture's advice about dating and about being pure. No, I just ran what the world was telling me to do. And all that time when I was chasing after this and I was sinking in sin, basically, I was spiritually not making any progress anywhere. I wasn't getting closer to Jesus at all. In fact, I wouldn't even read the Bible because I knew what the Bible was going to tell me, right? The Bible was going to say, you need to be pure in your relationships. And I'm like, I don't want to hear that right now. But you know what I would do is I'd go get Christian books. And I'd read every Christian book under the sun, except for I Kiss Dating Goodbye, which was one of those popular books at the time. But every book I read all these histories and I read all this stuff and I filled my mind with knowledge about God. But I wasn't really having a relationship with God. And that's sad because I let that sin come between me and Jesus. And we need to understand that's what sin does. Obedience is the pathway to intimacy with Jesus. If you really want to be intimate with Jesus, this is going to be a step that you face at some point in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is going to convict you of sin. That's just what he does. And if you're going to get close to the Holy Spirit, if you're going to get close to Jesus, you're going to feel that conviction. And if you run away from that conviction, like Jonah ran away from the conviction to go talk to the Ninevites, we talked about that the other day. If you run away from that, that doesn't bring you closer to Jesus, it brings you further away. In John 15, it says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. In other words, he's saying, listen, I want joy for you. And I know the way to joy is you find everything in your Father. In other words, the things that drive me, the things that I want, the desires that I have, I'm just going to give those over to God. I'm going to be obedient to him. And with that, Jesus is saying, you will find joy. If you're obedient to God, you will find joy in that. In Matthew 19, tells a story. It says in verse 16, it says, and someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into eternal life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, which ones? I love that. Which ones? That, you know, all of them, right? That's kind of obvious, right? They're commandments. Okay, but this is the guy. He's like, oh, which ones? Then he said to him, and Jesus said, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these I have kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go, sell all of your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. So you have this guy, he's literally being invited by Jesus to follow him into his kingdom. And the guy is like, but I have to sell everything I have? I have to give away everything that I own? That's not going to work for me. So he goes away grieving, even though he just had the invitation to heaven handed to him. And he goes away grieving. Why? Because, listen, he loved his stuff more than he loved God. See, he was wrapped up in something else in his life that meant so much to him that he was willing to keep that instead of have eternal life with Jesus. And that's what sin is in our life, especially sin that keeps hanging on. You guys know what I'm talking about in your life. You've got sins that you keep doing it over and over again. You're like, I can't get rid of this thing in my life. Yes, you can. And that thing gets in between you and God. And this is what we can take from this. Listen, we can love our sin more than we love Jesus. You know, at that time in my life when I wasn't following Jesus, I loved my sin more than I did Jesus. I knew exactly what Jesus wanted me to do. And I was like, Jesus, no, no. And that hurt my closeness to him. And that's what sin does. It's a divide, it's a barrier between you and God. And we've got to start treating it like, I hate this. I want to get rid of that barrier. I want to break that barrier. I want to get on the other side, just like when I was climbing the mountains and they had a barrier. I wanted to get on the other side of that barrier because there was something interesting over there. That's the way that we need to look at sin. You are a barrier in my life. I'm getting rid of you no matter what it is. So I ask you, do you have pet sins? Are there things in your life that you're just like, I like this. I want to hang on to this. Because it could be bitterness. Could be sexual issues. Could be sitting there on the internet and you go to places that you shouldn't go. Could be unforgiveness. Are there things that you're holding on to that are keeping you from a deeper relationship with Jesus? I promise you it's not worth it. The psalmist David, King David, we've talked about this story before. He was given everything by God. He was like, you are the king of my kingdom. Okay, and he set up this beautiful house. God built him a house. And then in the middle of it all, he just kind of got lazy. And he fell into sin. And that sin was simply, I'm not going to go fight battles for God. I'm going to let my men go out and do it. So as a king, instead of leading his men into battle, what did he do? He stayed home. And when he stayed home, that led him to another sin, which was he's out on his roof, and then he sees a girl bathing out there, and he's like, ooh. Oh, and he just, instead of leaving, he just hung out there for a while. And I'm sure he hung out there for a few evenings, just watching, knowing that she would be back. And then he goes and he says, who is this woman? He asks his advisors, and they're like, well, that's Uriah's wife, Uriah the Hittite. He's one of his commanders in his army. And David's like, well, I want that. Bring her to me. So we have this man of God who defeated Goliath, who who over and over again stood on God's word and was like, no, I'm not going to break God's word. And then all of a sudden he gets lazy and he's like, you know what? I love this thing more than I do God. So I'm going to yield to this. And he ends up sinning with this woman and then murdering her husband to cover it up. And this was one of the people that God says was after his own heart. And this is what he writes in Psalm 51 after all of this happens. Nathan the prophet comes and calls him out. He's like, dude, you messed up. Tells us a story about this man, the little poor man with the lamb, and that a rich man has a whole bunch of sheep, but he takes the poor man's lamb and uses it. And David, King David, gets up. He's all angry. He's like, what? Are you kidding me? This man needs to be punished. You know, Nathan's like, that's you. He's like, that's you. You took Uriah's wife, had him murdered. That's you. And David's like, oh. And at that moment, he realized what he'd done. And he lost his child because of it. But in Psalms 51, this is him talking afterwards. It says, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being. And in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. I just want to stop there for a second. Make me to hear joy and gladness. What's that about? Because all this time that he was sinning, there was a barrier between him and God, and he had lost the joy and the gladness that he had felt in God, in his relationship with God. All of this sin had driven a wedge where he didn't want to approach God because he knew what God would say about what he did. And that's what he's crying for again. He's like, please just bring that back to me because I remember what it was like to be close to you. It says, hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Create a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will be converted to you. He's saying, bring me back, God. Just restore what I gave away. I gave away that joy. I gave away that presence that you filled me with. Bring it back. Because then he can teach other people about it. And that's where we are. Listen, if there's sin in your life, you're not going to be witnessing to a bunch of people, right? And even if you are, you're not going to have the power of God behind that. Again, during that time, I'm off the rails. I was talking to my girlfriends about Jesus. I knew about Jesus. I would talk to them about Jesus. Yeah, you need to be saved. But I was living in sin. So they're looking at me going like, well, you're not even listening to Jesus. So why would we listen to you about Jesus? That's what sin does, right? And this is what David's saying. Restore me so that, listen, I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will be converted to you. And that's, you know, God can take your testimony and he can change it around and he can completely restore you. That's what God does. But sin can destroy the joy that we have in Jesus. Don't let it. Don't. Galatians 6, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. In other words, let's fight to get those barriers down. Let's fight to get the sin out of our life so that we can get closer to Jesus, so that we can have a closer walk with him. And we can really know our Savior. That's what we have. That's the ability that we have. In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because I know, like, the battle with sin is every day. It just doesn't go away. We got to fight it all the time. But he's saying, don't grow weary. Don't get tired of it, because it's worth it. There's something on the other side of that barrier that is so amazing and so wonderful that it makes that sin pale in comparison. Amen? So throwing off sin is deciding to draw closer to Jesus. That's a decision that we make. Listen, I'm going to throw off this sin. I'm going to leave it behind. And when we do that, we're also deciding to draw closer to him. So how do you get rid of sin? Because I know some people in here may be struggling with some sin that they've been dealing with for a long time. And I'm going to share with you some advice just from my personal experience and from a lot of, advice that I've been giving over the years. The first thing that you need to do is repent before God. And listen, you're not repenting. If you're a Christian, you've been forgiven. Okay? You're saved by grace and grace alone. But that doesn't mean you don't go before God and say, and humbly say, God, I messed up. Okay, because humility is so sweet of an aroma to God. God loves humility. When we come before him and say, hey, I messed up, that's a good thing. And the Bible tells us, it says in Romans 2:4, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? It's his love that leads us to repentance and try to get rid of sin. It's like, he has loved me so much. Why in the world would I let this thing stand between me and him? That's the thing that drives us. And because of that love, I'm going to go before God and say, God, I messed up. I'm sorry. Every time it happens. Because when you do it every time, it reminds you for the next time. It's like, if you always do it, it's like, okay, I messed up again. You know what? I'm not even going to do it this time, because I don't want to have to go before God and say, I messed up again. Okay? So you get in that habit. You repent every time. It says, acknowledge, number two is you acknowledge the effects of your sin. It says, then after desire, this is in James 1:15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to what? To what? Death. Guys, when we sin, it brings death into a situation. It's going to bring destruction into a situation. And sometimes we need to sit back and just look at what we're doing and realize the destruction and the death that it's causing. Okay? You know, most of the people, when I was off the rails, they would say, Scott, that's no big deal. You know, but you know what I was doing to those people I was dating? I was causing death and destruction in their life. Because I wasn't following the biblical principles that he laid out for me. I was and when I stepped back and I looked at it, and I said, oh my gosh, I was like a wrecking ball going through people's lives, because I was trying to find myself through relationships instead of through Jesus. And listen, I don't care how big or little your sin is, it's bringing death into some area of your life. And it could be other people's life. Most sin is not just by itself. I know husbands that are like, well, you know, me doing stuff on the internet, that doesn't hurt my wife. No, it hurts your wife. Right? They're not being faithful to their wife on the internet. That hurts your wife. You know, but it's secret. It doesn't really matter. She doesn't even know about it. It's hurting her because it's drawing you away from her. And that's going to cause destruction and death in her life. That's what Jesus says. He promises sin leads to death, right? Number three, you meditate on God's goodness. We have to always keep that in mind. And this is what worship is, right? When we worship God, we're saying, God, you're awesome. When we're singing these songs, what are we saying? I can only imagine to be in your presence. One day I'm going to be in your presence. We're worshiping God. We're reminding ourselves of how good he is and of his mercy and how much he is worthy of us obeying him. So we need to meditate that on it day and night. And when we do that, we're replacing all of those sinful thoughts with good thoughts. And we're focusing ourselves on the person that's going to lead us through. Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate on your work and muse on your deeds. Muse on your deeds. What does that mean? It means just to look at all he's done and say, wow, this is amazing. And to be inspired by it. That's what a muse is. It's somebody who's inspired. You just look at creation. You can look around here and just say, wow, you made all this stuff? You made all these people? I mean, these people are miracles walking around. Those are the things that we need to be meditating on through our life as Christians. Number four, we're going to pray for the Spirit's help. It says in the Bible that the Spirit's a helper. It says, but I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus talking. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So this is the Holy Spirit he's talking about. He's saying, Jesus is saying, I'm going, but I'm going to send you something better. Something that can live inside of you and bring the power of God into you. And the power of God can help you overcome sin. If you're struggling with the same sin over and over and over and over again, I promise you the Holy Spirit has the power to deliver you from that. And you pray to him and you say, please deliver me from this. And then arm yourself with scripture. It says in Psalms 119:11, for your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against thee. You find scriptures that speak to that sin. This, me getting out of my mess, this was a scripture, is in Christ I'm a new creation. And I kept repeating myself that over and over and over again and telling myself, I'm going to live like a new creation. This is my new identity. I'm not going to be that old person. I'm going to be this new person. And I put that scripture over and over and over and over again in my head. I would sit there, every time my mind wandered, that scripture came into my mind. Because I was reminding myself of who I actually was. I wasn't this other person. I'm this new person. Replace the void with something else. Guys, if you take sin out of your life, it's going to leave a big void there. You need to replace it with God. You need to replace it with something else that's good. Okay, it's very simple. Replace the void with something good. So therefore, it says in Romans 13:12, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, sin's going to go. I got to replace it with something else that's going to draw me closer to Jesus. As I do that, it's going to help me. Because if you just leave the void there, during that void, you're just going to be thinking about the sin. But if you take that void and you fill it with good stuff, then you're not going to be thinking about the sin at all because you're going to be doing good stuff. I had a friend, he signed up for a Bible study of mine one time. Still a good friend of mine. And he was a young, single guy. And I was like, yeah, what else are you involved in? And he had every night booked at church. It was hilarious. Like, he was like, yeah, Monday night I do this, Tuesday night I do this, Wednesday night I come to your group, this. I mean, he had every night. I was like, why are you so busy? He was like, because I don't want to mess up. I'm a single guy. I want to keep my mind on Jesus. And if I'm all these things, I can't be doing all this other stuff over here. See, that's the kind of mind that we need to have for God. I'm going to fill my time with God, and then there's no room for the devil, right? Right? That was a beautiful heart for me to hear. And it taught me something too. I was like, wow, you're right. Tell an accountability partner. And this is one of the hardest things I'm going to challenge you with today. If you're facing a sin that you're doing over and over and over again, the Bible says confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you be healed. The Bible looks at sin as a disease. You want to be healed from that disease? Confess your sins to one another. If you have something you're struggling with all the time, find someone that you can say, hey, can you just hold me accountable? I'm struggling with this. Can you just ask me every week, how are you doing with this? And then keep him accountable to asking you. And if that doesn't work out, you find someone else who will keep you accountable. Because that's what we're supposed to do with our Christian family, right? Help us to get rid of these barriers that are going to keep me from God. And then, my favorite, set up barriers to sin. So sin is a barrier. You can set up barriers in your life to keep you from sin. If you're struggling with a sin, like especially like, for instance, like pornography on the internet, guess what? Don't have your computer in a room where you can be alone on the internet. Put a barrier up in your life that says, I'm not going to cross this. Make it impossible for you to do that. Right? Figure out a way to avoid the temptation that's leading you there. Sometimes some people might need to get rid of Facebook, get rid of YouTube, because you know I can't deal with that. Some of you guys might be struggling with self-esteem issues. It's because you're not believing what God said about you. And because you're going on Facebook and you're seeing everybody getting likes and you don't get likes, maybe you need to fast from that for a little bit. Put a barrier up between you and sin and go to God and replace that time that you spend doing that reading what God says about you. Because that barrier is keeping you between from Jesus. Matthew 18 says, you know, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. Because Jesus understands how bad sin is in our life. We minimalize it a lot. Like, oh, it's not hurting anybody. No, it is. It's serious. This is why he uses this. Listen, if you can gouge it out, if you can set a boundary between you and sin, do it. And I'm not telling you to go gouge your eye out. And that's an example. I think we don't have to get to that point. We never have to get to that point because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been given a way to freedom. We have Christian brotherhood and accountability. And if you dive into that, you don't have to gouge your eye out because you have self-discipline through the Holy Spirit. And you can conquer any sin that comes your way, I promise you. But it is a fight, isn't it? And you got to decide, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get rid of this thing once and for all. And when you do that, don't give up the fight. Just keep battling until it's gone. It took me years to get my mind right. Years. Fell a lot on the way. But it was worth it because that thing was keeping me from my relationship with Jesus. So I want to leave you guys today with this. Isaiah 41:10. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. See, that's what Jesus has done for us. Because I gave my life to Jesus, my ability to control my sin does not keep me from heaven. But it does keep me from a deeper relationship with Jesus. But God's saying, you know what? I'm going to be with you no matter what, because it's always coming from us. God's always there just waiting to have a deeper relationship with you. He wants that more than anything. There's just things that we need to remove in our life so that we can do that. So today we're going to break our fast with communion. And I love communion because it's a symbol of what Christ has done for us. So if Eddie, you can come up and grab the things. I'm going to read from John the crucifixion story because I think it's good to go through this, especially right before communion, because this is really what communion is about. is about remembering Christ's sacrifice. So I'm just going to read this section in John. And this is after Jesus had been tried. He had been convicted. Even though he was innocent, he had been convicted by Pilate because Pilate was scared of the people, right? And the people were just saying, we want him dead. Talking about sin getting between you and Jesus, right? And this is what it says in John 19:16. So then, handed him over to be crucified. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two other men, one on either side and Jesus in between. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on his cross. It was written, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Therefore, many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews were saying to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said he was the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Now the tunic, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garment, took his outer garment and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece. So they said to one another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide those who it shall be. This was to fulfill Scripture. They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So this was prophesied about Jesus. Therefore the soldier did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to his disciples, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. After this Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished to fulfill the scriptures, said, I am thirsty. A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop, and I brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. That's the Jesus that we serve. That's the Jesus that wants to get close to you. That's the Jesus that wants to have a relationship with you. That's the Jesus that's worth giving up any sin in your life that's keeping you from him. That's the Jesus that I love. So as we're leaving this fast time, don't just leave focusing on God and pressing into God. Keep it up. And listen, don't stop fasting. If you have something in your life you need to get rid of, if you have something in your life that you really need God's help on, fast. You can do it. You don't need the church to tell you to do it. It's something that is very powerful in terms of connecting with God. And I challenge you guys to keep that as part of what you do. So right now, we're going to take the bread. And the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he passed it around. He said, this is my body that was given for you. So in remembrance of him, I'm going to just pray real quick. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your body that you gave for us, that you willingly gave to us. No one took it. You gave it away. Just pray that we remember that in our daily lives, Lord. We remember how much you loved us to go through that for us. And just thank you for taking that on yourself. Thank you for being broken for us so that we did not have to be broken. I just pray that we can honor that with our life each and every day. Amen. Go ahead and take the bread, break it. and eat it. And likewise, he took the cup. He said, this cup is poured out for you. It's a new covenant in his blood. That's what this represents, is the new covenant between us and Jesus. No longer more do we have to sacrifice lambs. We don't have to go to the temple anymore because Jesus did that for us. Let me pray real quick. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for being the sacrifice for our sin. We know that you are just and that you have to punish sin. I just thank you for taking that upon yourself. And again, I pray that you wash us in that blood. That you keep us closer and closer to you each and every day in remembrance of that, in remembrance of the love that you share for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take the cup. This we do to remember him, right? And we should do it often. I'm going to go ahead and pray us out today, and then Eddie, you can take over. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for each and every soul that's in this room. I pray that you speak to them about your love for them. Pray that if there's any doubt in their mind that you are God and that you love them, I pray that you erase that right now. Pray that if they're struggling, Lord, and they haven't given themselves over to you, that you just, by your Holy Spirit, lean into them, Lord, and let them know how real you are. I pray, Lord, that anybody in this room today that hasn't committed themselves to you, that wants to experience your salvation, that wants to experience that amazing relationship with you, I pray that they come forward during this song that we're about to sing and get help. I pray that if there's anybody here that is struggling with sin and they need help getting out of it, I pray that they come during this song and get help. So that's what we're here for as a church, to be your hands and feet. And we know that's your will for them. Love you so much. Thank you for your holy communion. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.